Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I'm right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to a special Halloween edition of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I am your host, Mandy, and unfortunately, my partner, Ben, can't be with us tonight. He had some schooling obligations that he could not get out of, but I am very excited to be chatting with Sean Austin. He is a fellow paranormal investigator and also part of the new Netflix series, 28 Days Haunted. Hey, Sean, thanks for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
How are you doing? Have you recovered from your filming experience being locked up for 28 days?
Well, it's not like it happened just yesterday. We're talking
true.
Summer of 2021. So even though that, I mean, you know, I had experiences that I'll never forget and, you know, looking back on it. So and some of that still is, you know, it peeks its eye out with me from time to time regarding that location. And no, it was truly something unique.
And you guys were at Captain Grant's Inn in Preston, Connecticut. Had you ever heard of that place before you were thrown in there?
I've heard of it. I never been there. It was on my radar because I live in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about the place. I just knew that it was a haunted place. But no, I've never been there. I just knew it was a bed and breakfast. That's as far as it went. And when we were on our way there, I had no idea where we were going.
And so they literally did not tell you. It really was a legitimate surprise.
Oh yeah. I had no freaking clue. So when I got out of the car and looked at the place and I'm looking, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. Does it look kind of familiar or whatever that, but like, you know, uncover, I'm like, oh, we're at Captain Grant's, like, you know, like, I guess I'm glad that I never went there because then that would have ruined a lot. I mean,
yeah,
investigated there. I mean, I live stream all the time, so evidence of that would have been somewhere online that I've been there. But, you know, I mean, to have a more of a true, genuine experience, you know, I wouldn't want to ruin any sort of things or that are going on or anything that I can unravel or pick up on or experience through the investigation, especially as long there for.
So how was filming? I mean, you guys were pretty much locked down in that place for 28 days straight with team members that you'd never worked with before. Was it grueling, intense? Did you have fun? Was it something that you're happy you did, but you may not want to ever do again?
I mean, you know, I've been on TV shows before and had, you know, certain things that are a little tough to deal with,
yeah.
And a learning experience, and especially, you know, working with people that you've never really worked with before. But I mean, for someone like me, I'm very spiritually endowed and being, you know, I'm not just a medium. That's just one of a few things that I do because I am also a demonologist. You know, like Jeremy is on the show, you know, I investigate the paranormal. I've been doing this for 13 years. It's not just a sensitivity to the spirit world. There's a lot of that encompasses all avenues of the paranormal. So, you know, dealing with that and then coming into a house with two guys who've been friends for 12 years and they're kind of two people that are skeptical. I kind of me in a spiritual minefield potentially being there for that long for some of these people. You know, and obviously you see some of that on the show.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was one part where you guys are sitting at the table and I think you'd been there for a couple of weeks. I can't remember what episode it was, but you and what's the guy's name with the beard?
Nick,
you guys kind of had a little argument because he was kind of accusing you that you may have been faking things. And you went into a little bit of how negative places can have psychological effects on
Yes.
you and kind of really create rifts between you and the people that you're with. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, obviously, especially with my knowledge about the demonic or negative spirits in general, and then what their motto is and how they can come after you. And the fact is that the intelligent spirits knew exactly what we were doing. They knew that we had to be stuck there for this big, huge bracket of time. So we are kind of spirits experiment in this retrospect, not just for the show. I mean, they're kind of looking at us, if they're negative, is that they can kind of use this to their advantage to amplify our emotions in a negative perspective and kind of use us as a dark version of chess as they try to amplify situations to cause divide and jealousy and whatever it is, you know. That was definitely a concern of mine too. And, you know, him saying that, you know, I obviously was taken back by that, but, you know, there's a lot more filming that you didn't see on the show, but what had happened was that I came out of my shower, when the steam, I'm looking at the mirror and like I'm about to like shave, and I'm looking at him like, does that say, there's something written on my freaking mirror? I'm just like looking at him like, you know, as it started to like take the fog off the mirror, and I'm looking at him, looking, I'm like, all right, that kind of looks like it says see you. And I just ran downstairs and like, guys, you want to take a look at this? Because I don't know if that says like see you on my mirror. I just came out of the shower. And I guess obviously in Nick's mind immediately, because he's very skeptical in his mind, he's like, oh, Sean wrote it. I mean, seriously, like, you know what? I'm gonna write that on the mirror so I can have this one little moment to stick out. I mean, that's just really ridiculous. It's so far-fetched, but I can understand from a skeptical mind, but obviously I was, you know, taken back by that, and to have somebody kind of, you know, give a snide remark with that too, like as if, oh yeah, right. It's just like, okay, so I got to be in the house with this type of situation, and what else is the dark stuff gonna continue to do? And that's what I've constantly would be warning those guys because of my history and what I know about dark and negative spirits and what they can do. Because I mean, I've investigated places for very long periods of time with that most investigators haven't. I mean, I remember doing a trip. The fall of 2020 was probably one of the craziest trips that I've done over the years of investing in the paranormal. I did 7 haunted locations, 7 days in a row, all
Oh
different.
my gosh.
Each location was like 5 hours, 10 hours from each other. It would literally be like investigate till 3 a.m. and then, you know, get back to the hotel, do a late checkout, get on the road, and then, you know, get food and just get to the next place, check into the hotel, and do it all over again. We were all over the place. I was in West Virginia to Indiana. You know, we did Willow's Weep. We did, you know, Malvern Manor. We did Sally House. We did McKinter Villa. We did the Gary Hotel. I mean, we did so many. And, you know, I've done extreme investigations in the long periods of time. I even slept in the Bel-Air house for 7 or 8 days in a row. Me and a buddy of mine, for the most part. But this is a different ball game because you don't have any escape. There's no social environment to go out. Let's go out to eat and be in that environment and eat with people and talk with people. Or, you know, you can enjoy yourself on situations. But when you have to stay in a property and have complete isolation from everyone, and I can't talk to anyone that I'm friendly with or I care about, it'll start to, you know, eat at you. Definitely. And then it gives more room for some of these oppressive energies to have their way with you and that you're, you know, in this location with. And especially if they're not, you know, versed in that sort of stuff, or, you know, they're skeptical about stuff. And I'm just like, you know, I've been doing this for many years, and I'm just like, it makes it hard for me because also is that the dark energies don't like me because of my history of what I do and try to help people living and passed away that are stuck in earthbound for whatever their reason. All the evil spirits get pissed off that, you know. So, you know, if they're doing stuff in the house or, you know, detracting from not realizing that stuff is doing stuff from the shadows, then, you know, they're going to try to aim it towards me. They don't like me because of my history. So they're going to use them. And there's something that actually happened to Aaron that they didn't put on the show, which was pretty powerful in my mind. Actually, Aaron, I think, wants to still tell the story because it was something that truly happened to him. Now, I mean, as far as I remember, is that Aaron's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God, but I get maybe he believes in spirits or something to that. He's interested and he's passionate about the paranormal. But you know, there was one night. Now, mind you, this is all connected to the mirror. Okay. So
Okay.
this was so that day when I told him about the mirror, the day went and it was the nighttime. So then our investigation started is that we were paying attention to the mirrors. So both Aaron and Nick took turns looking into this big mirror on the first floor of Captain Grant.
Oh.
Now, when Nick went into the mirror, he's staring at there, staring at the mirror and talking to the mirror. And then out of nowhere, he said that he just saw himself like change into like a baby and it freaked him out. So I'm like, there's now, fun, mind you, it's just like, all right, so you're telling me that I faked the mirror, but now you're seeing yourself form into a baby. I could have been like, wow, man, you're making that up too. it's just like, you know, and then, you know, Aaron looked in the mirror. And then he saw like an old hag-like witch. Now, this is interesting, is because that's something that I picked up on one of our investigations, that there was like this negative witch-like spirit there with us. And he sat down, and then we were sitting down. We were sitting down in the, in one of the rooms on the first floor. I'm looking at Aaron, and I'm just like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I mean, I'm looking at him. I'm just like, I'm looking at his face like something is off. I'm like, dude, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm all right. I'm looking at Nick. I'm like, dude, that's your friend for like 12 years. Have you ever seen him look like this? Because something seems wrong. He's like, I've never seen him like this before. I've never seen him look like that. So I'm like, dude, it's like, well, he's like, all right, well, maybe we should take a break, you know, and get some water. I'm like, all right, let's take a break. And he's like, well, no, let's maybe get some holy water. I'm like, excuse me. There's,
Wow.
you know, atheists asking for holy water, and I run upstairs really quickly, and I go down and put holy water on his forehead and say a prayer or whatever. And then he literally said that he felt this heaviness off his shoulders come off, and he admitted that he, for a few days, he was starting to become very, very depressed and didn't know where it was going at. And you know, and that to me was very powerful, because it's, you're talking about someone who doesn't believe in God, and then he's willing to talk about how this holy water lifted him from this shadowy thing that was like around him. And again, that's powerful. And I, you know, that's what I'm saying. There's so much more that happened that you don't see, because they have to consolidate everything. We have such a small bracket of time for such a huge bulbous amount of investigations, hundreds of hours of filming and investigating and living there, that they don't have time to present. So that was something that was interesting as well. Now, you know, that night, you know, we were in front of the mirrors, and I was constantly, they don't have this on the show either, but I was constantly asking on the spirit box as it's on, who wrote on my mirror? I mean, if I faked that, why would I bring such attention to it? Constantly asking. I was asking constantly. And then all of a sudden, like the one thing that they showed, all of a sudden some word comes through, and then I hear Nick go, oh, it just said your name. In that moment in my mind, I knew it's like, okay, he already had in his mind looking for it to say my name, because he thought and believed already that it was me that wrote on the mirror. So he's looking for on the spirit box to say my name. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then he had presented it up at the table for the second part of that. So I knew that that was coming. And then that's why I stood up at the table and like, I'm looking at the cameras. We're here for a Netflix show. I'm like, bring in a lie detector test. You want to play that game? He was lying. I mean, I could have done that, and they could have brought that, you know, test on the table at the time. So I was like, I mean, do you want to play? Like, let's play, because I would never do something like that. And I'm not really dealing with this right now. You know, it's just like, that was just like unfortunate. But you know, with some of the negative stuff that's there, knowing that we just stay that long, I was just trying to just like, you know, keep on track to what was going on, and realizing that there was a connection to you know, some of the mirrors and what the spirits were going on, and until the climax of the show, what you see saw.
I mean, it's one of the things I really liked about this particular show, because I'm, as a quote unquote real paranormal investigator, I don't typically watch paranormal shows because they're just not true to what we really do. But your investigation in particular was interesting. I mean, it made me mad when they were questioning your investigative morals, because I've known you for a few years and I've watched you all these years on social media, and you're
Yeah.
not one to fake things. I mean,
No.
that's just the way it is, because you're a real investigator. It's one of the things I really like about you. But I love the fact that you brought to light, because a lot of people who go out and do this because they think it's fun, you know, they want to talk to ghosts, they think it's awesome, and it is. It's a great, fun hobby, but it can also be very, very dangerous. And a lot of the times you don't really know what you're getting into. And I like the fact that you kind of brought up the psychological factors that negative entities and energies can really affect you, and you know, people can get attachments, because I mean, as you know, I deal with Bobby Mackey's, and they
Yeah.
actually, we, Laura and I, another member of the group, we both strongly feel that being there as much as we have been was what caused our paranormal group to break up. Fortunately, you know, we're still friends, but I mean, it's just that people who don't do this on a normal, a regular basis, just I don't really think understand the
No.
perils that it can lead to.
I've been oppressed before, like I've walked this plank on a spiritual sense of dark things and latching on to you. I have seen evil up front over the years. I've encountered stuff. And, you know, some of these people that just go on some of these investigations, do research and being, you know, being skeptical. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being skeptical and it's and stuff like that. But, you know, there is a danger there. And being in this, in an environment like this where we're forced to stay there for this long, we can't leave the property with our oppressive energies. They're going to use that to their advantage. They're going to cause more divide, just like they would if there was a family living in the home. Just Ed Warren had probably come up with this theory that there was a cycle, which I mean, I obviously theorize that Ed must have came up with this connected to the Amityville houses because the Lutz family was there for 28 days and they left all their furniture behind and they just took off. But mind you, what we were doing, we weren't just living in this place. We were investigating, engaging, communicating, opening ourselves up to these spirits 7 days a week, you know, till the 28 days. So this is a whole new extreme. This isn't just like, oh, we're living in the house and whatever happens, happens. Like, no, we are walking right to the veil and reaching under and going right in. That's what I was telling people. It's like I literally towards, I'm telling you, by the third week around that area, it was like really when I felt like I was, you know, more in the spirit world than planet Earth, because it just, I felt so drained and like investigating. I look was like slurring my words. You know, the paranormal hangover, because I'm sure you know that if you
Oh
invest
gosh,
time. I just felt like I couldn't even like my when I was speaking, like I was like talking through quicksand. Like, but it was interesting because, you know, I my abilities were coming through too. I mean, there's a lot of psychics I came up with. It was really interesting. Again, that didn't make the show. And there is one thing that I'm really excited to share with people, with my emotional connection to Adelaide, that I'll be releasing next month. It inspired a song, and I have evidence to show what happened. It's an extension of the scene when I was in the chair in the show about connecting to her and feeling her suffering. It went further than that, you know, there'll be a music video and, you know, evidence and a little story of what happened, an extension of what happened and why I was so emotional and why I was really crying, because it was the most emotional and beautiful paranormal experience I have ever had. So I'm excited to actually share that, but that was as real as you can get for me. And again, when I experienced this connection to her and being so emotional, like I've never done on an investigation, I knew that this experience was bigger than me and bigger what I was doing on the show, and the story needed to be shared, whether it would be on the show or not. But I have to be thankful for this experience of being there, because, you know, I really think for that long period of time, you really have the opportunity to connect to some of these spirits. And I think that certain specific spirits do pick individuals that are in a house and know that they're going to be there for that long to connect to them because of their energy. They're attracted to you and they want to have some sort of connection to you, and they might feel that you have a better chance to really give a voice to their story. And she definitely felt that with me, for reasons that I'll explain when I release this music video. It's you know, something special that I look forward to explaining on lectures for the rest of my life.
I'm very excited to hear that, because I enjoyed what little we got to hear about your connection with Adelaide on the show, it was, because like you said, there are, you do go places and you are able to connect with certain spirits, and it's just life changing. I mean, I've done a couple of private investigations where I was able to help spirits cross over, and it makes me cry every time because it's, there's just, you can't even really describe the feeling that it gives you when you're able to help somebody move on to the next stage in their evolution. It's just incredible.
It is, and it makes me feel so purposeful and fulfilling and
Right.
solvent because this stuff's endlessly fascinating. I mean,
Yeah.
why we do what we do, because it's never the same thing. We're never going to unravel the definitive answer to everything. And that's why us as investigators who really truly care about what we do in the research and investigation and helping people with those experiences and the knowledge is that we want to attain this area of understanding every time we go out and do this stuff and use that to people. And like I said, this situation with the show to be able to stay that long in a place that has so much spiritual energy swirling around, you really have an opportunity to connect and being sensitive and empathetic when it comes to the emotions of the spirits and what they went through. And I really did with her. I even drew a picture of one of the guys' ghosts that came to me in bed, and it may have been the captain. I'm not sure, but it was a guy who looked like had like a captain type hat and an eye patch. And I drew a picture of that. She would visit me. When she visited me in bed, like she had like long gray hair. So she showed me, I believe she showed me when she was older, when she'd stay there, and when she was an older woman, she showed me when that thing happens to me in the room, she showed me like an opening of a golden locket, and I could see like a young, beautiful woman as a brunette. She was showing me the parts of her life when she was young and when she's older, still waiting for a captain. And like she literally was saying to us in the house with the EVPs over and over again, "I am here without my captain," which on that one part we do have the show, she clearly says her, her name, and I'm here, I'm the wife. I just get chills thinking about it. When I start tapping into that, like it's just like, oh gosh, like even when I do like the story about the song with her, I mean, the song's called Mercy because that was her name, and it has dual meaning. It's like stop the pain, and I really, I felt the decades of the loss, the heartache that she went through, and it kind of tied into something I experienced, like heartache with somebody. It was like a huge, crazy spiritual, like emotional connection to somebody, and was like just it went south, and it's a really deep story. And I think that's part of the reason why she related to me, because I went through something and I was still going through it. And being there and isolated, I was thinking about it. And I think part of it was her probably like that longing and that heartache. It was connecting to me. We were intertwining with each other because it was such a similar type of feeling, because it's such a painful thing to go through. And it's like, that's why I was, again, I believe part of the reason why it was so emotional to me, because I truly sympathize. I couldn't imagine having to go through decades without knowing what happened to the love of your life, if they would come back tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, or never at all during those time periods. Because I did have a vision, and this is part of the story, is that we were at her grave, and I had a vision that she would write these notes to him, like poetically. And in those days, that would be such a almost like a potential like release to be able to write something, and she would say, like, and I said it on camera, "I savor your lips with the breath of each day. Life is enduring without you, and the wind is my only company." Those are the few sentences that came to me. That in incorporated in what happened with this whole song. What ended up being the song and why I created it, and then what happened next is just so wild.
And when do we get to hear this? Next month?
Yeah, I'm going to film the music video in North Carolina in 2 weeks, and then I'm
Okay.
going to get the song out before Thanksgiving, and it'll just be like a little docu story. I'm going to present the evidence, the EVPs, and then I'm going to play the music video. And I want it to be by the ocean because, that's what she was, she lost her captain. He was off at sea. And I want to have like a woman kind of like in a gown of some sort, maybe playing an acoustic guitar around her as she's floating around, because this is all this woman had thought about for decades living on this property, and I get chills start thinking about it again. It's just so powerful. But I think it's just so important to tell this story. Just like she said to me in this experience, when I was sobbing at the end, she was just like, "You were meant to come here. You captured my essence." So I really believe that I'm supposed to tell this story.
Well, I mean, I can't wait to hear just, hearing you. I mean, just even the little clips of what they showed about Adelaide, it's just a beautiful story. And I'm glad that's one of the biggest things that she took away from it, because she could have walked away with a lot of negative from
No.
some of the experiences, but I think it's
And
awesome that.
I did. I mean, I had some creepy stuff happen to me. I was sleeping in the bedroom and I was having all sorts of stuff come to me and whisper in my ear, like Ouija and creepy things. And now, mind you, I did find out later, also connected to the mirror part, is that I found out that somebody stayed in the same room that I was sleeping in, and they were, goth out type people, and they left behind voodoo dolls, the employees of the inn, and that wrote some weird stuff on the mirror. And I'm like, oh wow, well that makes sense, and gave a little bit more. That's you have the history of the place and what may be invited in through the history, and then all the other people that stay there and do stuff because they feel like, oh, this place is haunted, let's do creepy stuff. And this principle is very prevalent in many places that we investigate. Cemeteries, like cemeteries, you go there, you think, oh, why are cemeteries haunted? It's like people go to creepy places and do creepy things. They'll do cult type activity and invite and open up doorways for all different diversified energies to come in and out of them. They add to the haunting. So even urban legend places, it's like, yeah, for me, it's fascinating to go to these places and learn about these urban legends, but you go there to find out if there's any truth to the story. But people will go to places that have stories that may be fabricated. And you go in there, you go and do occult activity, and they mess around, rituals and things like that. And then a place that wasn't haunted before actually is haunted. So layers to these hauntings of places. It's not just the history, it's the combination and all the layers of activity of human beings and what their free will and what their actions were on that property that all comes together and cultivates into some big ball of spiritual events and energies that are there.
Now you have gone so many places that I haven't been able to visit yet. What are some of your favorite places that you've been to, and what's some of the best evidence that you've come up with in these places?
Gosh, I mean, just to wrap my head around, there's so many places that I've been, but I've been to so many different places, like asylums or just old farmhouses or creepy haunted woods. And I mean, I've captured one of the coolest things that I captured in the last, isn't it, 2 years? It's on my TikTok and my YouTube, though, is that I was in the cemetery, ironically, where Ed and Lorraine Warren are buried. I was going to go live on TikTok, and as this mist appears in front of me, and when I realized what I had in slow motion, it was just one of the weirdest captures I've ever gotten. And it looks like to me that like there's this bluish humanoid type figure that appears in front of me, and closely it looks like this red type energy, and it almost looks like it has horns, and it comes at me, but it looks like this blue thing intercepts it and takes it away. And to me, how I perceived is that like something angelic or something like a football interception, you see it, they interact, it's coming here, and it just like it pulls it away, like it was coming for me or something. I just had this feeling it was coming for me, and it's truly a really interesting, one of the interesting, most interesting captures I've gotten over the years. Now, this cemetery where Ed and are buried, there's known to have been occult activity, but also the church on the property. A lot of they did perform a lot of their exorcisms, famous exorcisms they did. And there's some people believe that once they displace the dark energies out, they still swirl around the cemetery. That's interesting, lore, but also, some of what the people might do in the cemetery. But that cemetery is super haunted. I've gotten, shadow figures and, asylums and, experiences in general. I mean, doing it this many years, I mean, there's not much I haven't experience besides Sean like floating, waking up floating 10 feet above. my bed. So,
I don't think I would want that to happen necessarily
no.
because I'm
No. I
not
mean,
real
I've had,
keen on sleeping by myself in haunted locations anyway, but
yeah, and I've slept in many.
yeah, you're a
Remember
little bit
sleep.
braver than I am, I think.
I've slept in like, I remember I slept in this 1800s prison in Indiana, and like it was like a silver plated bed, and I'm sleeping next to a mannequin and that has prison clothes on it. It was so uncomfortable, and I'm just trying to doze off, and I just hear like the police baton hitting the bars, and I'm just like, that's it, not sleeping. You know, it's just I've even had so much activity in my apartment in the last year. When I first moved in here, and there's videos on my TikTok, it's just, I couldn't believe it. The first night I slept here, I never felt anything when I first moved in here. And the first night I slept here, someone like tickled me under my arm. I think it was like a child spirit. And then like with the door jiggled, the doorknob. And then I came out and I heard like noises in the kitchen. I'm like, what the heck is this? So then I just started leaving a camera on while I was sleeping, and then my blankets are moving by itself, and these crazy light anomalies are floating over me, and disembodied voices happening. I'm just like, wow. Well, okay.
Yeah, you
But
being sensitive, man, you got to be careful with that. I actually, because I'm an empath, I have barriers up around my house because I don't want anything that's not of the light to come in here. No lower vibrations, no lower entities, anything like that.
oh
Because
yeah.
this is my home. This
And
is
it should
my
be
space. Yeah.
your sanctuary. And that's what I tell people when I go and try to help in their homes. It's like, you know, this needs to be your safe space. This deserves to be your safe space. You don't want something like that. How would you like to come home and just feel like something is just hovering over you, like I want to kill you? You know, it's not exactly a comforting type of feeling.
No, it definitely is not, especially at 4 o'clock in the morning when they try to interrupt your sleep. And of
Yeah. I
course, you
mean,
know, you're.
I've had the worst of the worst come to me when I'm sleeping. So I mean, at this point, I'm so accustomed to so much. I mean, hooves, tails, horn, red, yellow, glowing eyes. Like I've seen it all. I'm just like, all right, guys, you gotta go. I've saw something creepy, in my apartment with like red glowing eyes when I came back from a location. I was, yep, nope, you gotta go. Bless my apartment, and it's just one of those things I have to deal with. It's just, again, being sensitive, and this is what a lot of children experience because they're fresh to this world. There's no contamination of the rational perspectives they have and the impressionable minds they have, and spirits take advantage of that because of their desperation, whether for good reasons or just want their voice to be heard or a story, or it's something more deviant and try to take advantage to induce fear because children are the easiest to, put fear into. So the same principle. And because I offer prayer and I offer try to cross spirits over all the time, have a little bit more of that come towards me. I also do believe a lot of the evidence that does happen to me, overall for paranormal evidence, is because of my genuine intent, and the aura around me. I think they sense that I really truly care, and that's there to use them at like a zoo animal. Say, hey, can you do a backflip for me so I can get you on camera and take. Yeah, I gotta give some sort of mutual respect. It's like we're lucky to experience these spirits. They were humans just like us. Like, how would you be a soul out of your body and be stuck somewhere? And they're trying to get your attention, like you're Patrick Swayze in The Ghost, and like you love someone, you're missing something, or you're just tormented. And show me that you're here. Like I'll offer it. I'll try to help you if I can. I don't want to just sit there and say I can help you and just take off. I mean, and I think a lot of reciprocation of evidence because of that over the years with me, with my experience as well, just because of that.
That's an interesting point that you bring up because it's with me being an empath and I also do I'm a Reiki healer as well. You know, you go into these places that people own and operate solely with the purpose of bringing investigators in because they know it's haunted. Do you find it difficult to like for me it's hard to not want to help them move on because you know, the owners, that's not what they want. And they didn't ask for that particular kind of help. But at the same time, it's kind of, it really eats at me a little bit because, you know, you go in there doing an investigation and you come across somebody that, you know, may be attracted to your energy or whatnot. And you're just like, why are you here? I mean,
Right.
when it comes to kids, I kind of draw the line at that because we did have a kid that had been stuck in Mackie's basement for about 60 years, and we actually were able to get her to cross over. But I don't know. It just, how do you feel about that? Do you, what do you do as far as that goes?
I mean, like as a kid spirit?
Well, kid spirits, but just any spirit in general. If you're like, say you're at some place like Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum where they want the ghosts to stay because they're making money off of them,
Oh,
you know, that kind of thing.
well, obviously the people have their own ways of doing things, and I don't like to judge and stuff, but I mean, I'm sure I have opinions about things like that. But in a lot of the cases, I've noticed that they will follow me home, and I can cross them over even from my own place because I realize that they followed me. Just like a place that I did a documentary about and wrote about my first book with many experiences, Letchworth Village in New York, super,
Oh,
super haunted place.
yeah.
And that place sticks to you. And those are the most interesting places that I think about and love to do more research on, the ones that really stick to you like ooze. It's just like it's on you for like months after you go to this place.
Yeah.
What is it about that that really just sticks around? That energy is so profound, it's so powerful, and it just lingers. But I've noticed that like I would get those spirits coming in and they're still here. And then, you know, I have an opportunity to cross them over. Really get lost within themselves. Now, there are probably are some spirits that aren't able to leave the property because they're so lost, but
Right.
so many diversified types of spirits and what their abilities are. I mean, I think that's why, you know, even some spirits, a small amount of spirits can move objects, you know, that can happen. And that's why it is rare.
Yeah.
If every spirit could do that, we would be able to track and accomplish extracting a lot more evidence of the
Oh.
unknown. But it's interesting to think about that too. It's just like, how does some spirits know how to do that and some don't? You know, how do they retain and take in energy and use that to pierce the veil into our world
Yeah.
and use move a physical object without a physical body? I mean,
Or
that's
touch you or something.
or even
Yeah.
touch you. Yeah, I mean, a lot of them can do that, but you know, something that happened to me and Bobby Mackey's too. I don't know if you know the story, but in, you know, Ellie, when I came there with Ellie Beast, I didn't want to tell the story because it was personal to him, but he came out and told about it. And actually, we were thinking about maybe at some point coming to you guys and maybe doing a documentary. Because I got my first oppression came back from when I first went to Bobby Mackey's. It's him.
Not surprised.
But what happened to Ellie Beast, man? Holy crap. Do you know what? You don't know what happened?
I don't know if I ever heard about that, because I know
Well,
he was supposed to send us like a video or something, and for some reason he couldn't.
okay. Well, you know, he came out and talked about it. But so what happened was, we came there. I befriended him, and his fans wanted to go somewhere paranormal, and they were saying go to Mackey's. I'd said I've been there before, so we went. We came. We had a great time. It was my birthday.
Yeah.
I got up and sang with Bobby
Yeah, I remember that.
for my birthday, and like definitely had a few drinks, and then there's Beast eating a 4 pound cow heart, you know, on
Yeah,
stage. And I remember some lady was like, I'll eat some of it, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna puke.
it
And I know he got sick in the bathroom too, but
was
kind of warned him. I told him not to provoke, man. And then like, you know, a lot of his fans at the time, oh, stand in the portal to hell, and he's like, do something to me. He said something like that. And you know, so we investigated that night. God, it was so freaking cold that night. But we were I remember we were down in the basement.
for Valentine's Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, because my birthday is February 13th.
Yeah.
Yep. And so we were down in the basement, and we were doing a flashlight ITC. And you know what's so funny is that I was trying to talk like Johanna if she was stuck there, and I was actually like, do you want prayer or something? And I don't think this thing like this thing like that. So we were looking down at one of those small doorways in the basement, and my friend Dave Spinks, on
Yeah.
the table like 15 feet away, he had his tobacco chew. And so we're looking at the flashlight, and then all of a sudden, just something flies over our heads and goes directly all the way to the end of the basement. You hear it just ping, 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 ping. And we're like, what the hell was that? So we run to the other side of the basement and realize it was his tobacco chew that literally came off the table and flew all the way down in the basement. And like, that's just one of those things. Just like, wow, you know, it's a pretty.
Oh, they threw a beer bottle a couple nights ago and smashed against the floor. So, yeah, it was
I
super.
bet. But anyway, so we left there, and then, you know, Beast started to act a little strange, and I saw him in his hotel room, and he looked like he's had rage in his eyes, and he's like, dude, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I want to like fight you. I'm just like, dude, like I told you, you shouldn't like provoked, and you know, whatever, we were cool, and everyone flew back home. And then, I didn't talk to him for like a couple of months. And so then out of nowhere, he reached out to me, and then he told me that he, was living in Santa Monica at the time. He was in his apartment, and weird stuff started to happen. He started seeing shadows darting around his apartment, and it came to a point where he had a mental breakdown.
Oh, wow.
And he had gotten his car, took all of his favorite belongings. The next thing he knew, he had flipped his car over and pierced his lung. And the next thing he knew, he was being pushed into the hospital on a gurney with all the doctors and nurses, and yelling out to them, "It's me. It's me, Carl." And he never
No.
for like 6 years. He wouldn't even go near it. And I got him to come back with me and be a part of a documentary just this past year. He was so frightened of it, which I don't blame him at all. But that to me is a perfect example about instigating and provoking and allowing something to come in, and like that is insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, we don't let people provoke there, 'cause I've seen too many people go home with attachments. And
Oh yeah.
I mean, I've witnessed people with depression, especially like in the Wall of Faces room in the basement. They're perfectly happy-go-lucky. They walk in there and it's like their attitude and demeanor just turn on a dime, and we make them go outside for a little bit. But yeah, it's some of these places are no joke, and
Yeah.
people think
Mackey's is
it's fun.
infamous for stragglers. Infamous.
It is. And I mean, there are no demonic entities there, but there are a few, shall we say, not so nice ones, in the basement. And there are a couple portals upstairs, so you never know who's going to be coming in and out.
Yeah.
And Carl, of course, is still there. He makes himself known occasionally,
And
but
he did that time we were there. We were up in his apartment, and we were out like, is it a portal to hell? He's like, yes. But
oh God, I love it. I
that's
wish he would
if
cross over.
yeah, right.
Poor guy. He's
Yeah.
oh, he's I don't know what it is about that property, but he just won't leave. He's so attached to it. It's crazy.
I'm sure.
Oh, Sean, well, I know you're a busy guy. I appreciate you coming on and chatting with me for a little while, and I can't wait to see your video in the music
Yeah,
video for Adelaide.
I literally can't wait to share it. It is so special, and I think people will perceive it the same way. It's very, very emotional. It's probably the most beautiful song I've ever written too.
Do you know like a specific date that you're gonna put it out there?
I'm just trying to get the music video done so that
Okay.
to just get it the song released, and I'm just going to post it on social media, my YouTube and stuff like that. But as soon as I do, trust me, it's going to be all over my social media.
Okay.
But I'm really stoked to share this special stuff, and now that people had seen part of that on the show, and this will be an extension of that, and more validation of how true and genuine my emotional connection to that spirit of her was to me, and that's something that'll live with me for the rest of my life.
Oh, I can only imagine. It seemed very beautiful on the short time we got to see it. For those people who would like to watch your endeavors into the paranormal, how can they go about doing that?
Well, I go live on TikTok a lot, and some big investigations. If I'm going to like a big location, I'll do both at the same time, TikTok and YouTube. My YouTube is just youtube.com/@ Sean Austin, SEANAUSTIN. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook's all Sean D. Austin, SEAN, D as in David, AUSTIN.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's definitely, I always like checking you out, and you've just so I've just always had it. I just always liked you. You always seem like a really cool guy. Just way back
Thank
from the
you.
time we met in Mackey's, which was,
Right?
my God, when was that?
It's got to be like 6, 7 years.
6, 7. Yeah, goodness
Yeah,
gracious, I feel
scary.
old. It is. It really
Want to
is.
vomit.
Don't do that. That's, yeah,
I
that'd be
gotta
a little
post
bit
that
much.
video that I just happened on my social media. I only shared it on TikTok with like with Bobby's voice coming through the spirit box. Did you hear that?
I did watch that. That was actually Laura sent that to me. She's like, go back and watch this. And I'm like,
Yeah, I was gonna tag
that.
Bobby and be like, "Is that your voice, Bobby?" Because I've such a being a musician, I can like my ear is very, it's pretty keen. And like when
Yeah.
it came through, and considering the word that it said, I'm like, "That is freaking Bobby's voice," and it said "Wilder" on top of it. I'm just like,
Well, I was thinking, because I actually was going to reach out to you about it, and I just haven't had a chance to yet. But in my, I'm wondering if there's something that's still with you from Mackie's that maybe wants you to take it back.
Maybe.
And that was its way
Yeah.
of getting across, because
Maybe.
that sounded like Bobby's voice.
Yeah. And then I
It's, it was
found an interview
incredible.
of him saying the word too, and I was just like,
Yeah.
you can tell. I mean, but it's I don't know, man. That was really weird. I mean, I know Eric goes there from time to time, and he wasn't there that long before that. And we were
He
only
was just there a couple days ago.
Yeah, he wasn't that when we were there in the opera house. It wasn't that the day I posted the video, I didn't even know he was going there.
Yeah.
He was there at Mackey's. And I'm just I'm posting this video right now. I just realized you're at Mackey's right now. That was so weird. I wanted Bobby to hear that because I know he's how skeptical he is too, but I'm just like
Oh, he'll never admit to the paranormal ever.
but
Never. We've tried to get him to, but no, not
oh
gonna happen.
gosh. Hilarious. Well,
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sean. I would love to have you back on anytime you want to come back on, because you just, I love hearing your stories.
I'd love to, when this music video comes out, I want to jump on anything I can because I think this story needs to be out there.
I hear you.
That's why
Well,
I'm trying not to share it, in public
oh,
yet.
under, yeah, understand. Understand.
I don't want to give it all away. I want people to really absorb it as they watch it, and it just rather than take away from it, because it's truly something amazing and special, and I think a lot of people will believe the same.
Well, I absolutely cannot wait. It's going to be wonderful.
100%.